It's good to see everybody this morning. We welcome you to worship. A few announcements we'll make as we get started. First, we'd like to find out who is in worship today. The way we do that, there are pew pads on the inside out of every pew. We invite members and guests. Take this pew pad, write your name down, contact information, check the correct boxes, and send it down so everybody has a chance to fill it out. We do ask, once it gets to that last person, send it back to where it got started today. We do ask that first person, when it comes back to you, please tear out the pages, as Raymond just did. Good timing. Tear out those pages, and our ushers will collect those at the end of the service. So thank you for that. Couple of announcements. Most of these you'll find in your bulletin under upcoming events and opportunities for the week. Want to let you know, grief support is today at 3, right, Miss Krista? Hey, there you go. We in the middle of our aerobic sessions. We have senior adult aerobics Tuesday mornings, and then aerobics for all ages on Thursday evenings. You're welcome to come, and it's awesome. That is Mary's words. Kelly McCrary is leading both of those, doing a great job with that, had great attendance with those. So we look forward to continuing the next until February 13th, and then we're going to re-up for some other classes here in the not-too-distant future. Let's see. We are having children's time today. Invite all the kids right down here for just a few minutes. Pursuing God's Love is Bible study tomorrow at 10. Also, prayer group this Thursday at 10. Okay? Other things are listed there in your bulletin. We want to make note of one thing. Yesterday, our GAs and our WMU sponsored a pancake breakfast at our local Applebee's. As College Park always does, did a tremendous job supporting the fundraising efforts of our people. All the money that was raised will go to the backpack school feeding program. College Park raised over $1,500 yesterday. That is a huge... That will supply 300 weekend bags, book bags, for children to be fed over a weekend. 300. That is a tremendous amount. We appreciate all the efforts of the GAs and the WMU and all the people that volunteered yesterday. Very thankful for all of your efforts. Okay. Any other announcements? I think that's it. We want to say a special welcome to our guests this morning. We have ushers there to come in down the aisles now. They'd like to give something to you. If you're a guest, we appreciate the information that you gave us a moment ago on the pew pad. Just raise your hand right where you are, and our ushers will recognize you. They will give you a packet of information. Inside this packet, you'll find a letter from our pastor welcoming you to our church. Also, a newsletter that tells you what's going on in the life of our church and a little bit of the history of College Park. So thank you for being a part of worship this day. I had a great opportunity this week to head to New York City for 3 days. And that's about the perfect time to be in New York City, 3 days. I enjoy going to the city. I enjoy meeting the people, and I was visiting various mission sites that our high schoolers will be seeing in 2 months, and I was overwhelmed by the generosity of the people of New York. I visited approximately 8 sites in about 2 days' worth of traveling in the city. God's people are alive and well working in New York City. There are thousands and thousands of dollars being spent daily to feed the homeless, to shelter the homeless, to feed the hungry, to clothe those who need clothes. I was struck by how many people, and when you think about New York City, you certainly don't think about all the people that are working behind the scenes to meet the daily needs of its residents. And it made me thankful of the people here that daily serve God where we are, in our workplaces, in our schools, wherever we go to find needs and to meet them. We're not all called to live in New York City. We're not all called to live in Winston-Salem. But we are all called to do what we can do to change the world for Christ. Because of that call, we come to worship, to re-energize, to be prepared, to be educated, to be encouraged by one another, so that we can go back out those doors and to serve Him faithfully. As we prepare for worship, whether He calls you to New York City this week or to your workplace, let us serve Him with joy and with thanksgiving, knowing that we are not alone. He is with us, and our brothers and sisters in Christ are with us. Let us prepare for worship. Invite all the kids, come on down. We got some coming in here in just a minute from the nursery. It's good to see everybody. Come on, we'll wait. No problem. Take your time. Everybody good? Everybody good this morning? Somebody go watch a football game tonight? Yeah. All right. I think Jared is. All right. I need crisscross applesauce. Thanks. Good to see everybody today. I'm not sure where the other class is, but hey, we're going to go ahead and get started. I have a question. Does anybody, I see some, everybody stare this way. Come on in. You're all right. Come on in. Crisscross applesauce. It's good to see everybody this morning. Is everybody awake? Hi. Sit down for me. Now, I have a couple pictures, and I want you, it's going to help me tell you what we're talking about today. Okay? Does anybody know what this is? A bumblebee. Okay? Does anybody know what this is? With an attitude. All right? It's a baby with an attitude. Okay? Have you ever made this face? If somebody makes this face, does that mean you have an attitude? Probably. So if we put the two together, be attitude. Hey, how about that? Be attitude. All right. Now, has anybody ever heard of the Beatitudes? Anybody? 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 Nobody? Huh? A bee stinging you that has nothing to do with Beatitudes. No. Actually, it's a very important teaching. It's a very important teaching that Jesus gives us. And I want you to listen to something. It's not exactly what you might think Jesus would say, but I want you to listen to. Here's what he says. It comes from Matthew chapter 5. Be happy when you are poor in spirit, because then you will find that your riches are in the kingdom of heaven. Be happy when you feel you have lost what is most dear to you, because it is then that you will feel the love of the one who is most dear to you. Be happy with what you have, because then you will find that your heavenly Father provides everything that you need. Be happy when you are hungry for the things of God, because then you will find that only He can satisfy. Be happy when you are caring for others, because it is in caring for others that you will find that you have a heavenly Father who takes care of you. Be happy when your heart is right with God, because it is then that you will see that God is at work in the world around you. Be happy when you help others to get along peacefully with one another, because it is then that you will know the peace that comes from being part of the family of God. One more, it says, be happy when others treat you badly because you follow me, because your reward will be great in heaven. Now, sometimes, happy when others treat you badly when you follow me? Does that sound like it makes a lot of sense? No, it's not exactly. Did this make a lot of sense? Be attitude, did that make a lot of sense? Sometimes God wants us to do stuff that doesn't make sense to our minds. To our minds, it doesn't make sense. But when we do things the way God wants us to, we begin to see things like He does. Those people that pick on you at school that shouldn't do that, there may be some things that are going on back home or in their life that you and I don't know about. So we have to be loving back to them. We don't get back at them. We love them. Okay? Sometimes, but that doesn't make a lot of sense. But that's what God wants us to do. To do things His way. To love people His way. Can you help me do that this week? Find one person who does something that maybe doesn't you don't like or does something to you. Can you find a way to love them and not get back at them, not to say something about them, not to be ugly back to them? Can you do that one time, at least one time this week? That's the Beatitudes. That's what Jesus wants our heart to be all about, to do things differently. Will you pray with me? God, thank you so much for the Beatitudes and Jesus' teaching that you want us to look at the world differently and to treat people differently. That's hard when people are ugly to us or mean to us for us not to be mean back. But that's what you want us to do. Because Jesus loves us, you want us to love other people. Help us to find a way this week to be loving to somebody in Jesus' name. Amen. Good job. Good listening.
That's great. Now, how many of you will think of a bee next time that you read the Beatitudes? Those visuals are good. Very good. Today, we'll be reading from Micah chapter 6, verses 1 through 8. If you'll hear God's word, please. Listen to what the Lord says. Stand up, plead my case before the mountains. Let the hills hear what you have to say. Hear, you mountains, the Lord's accusation. Listen, you everlasting foundations of the earth. For the Lord has a case against his people. He is lodging a charge against Israel. My people, what have I done to you? How have I burdened you? Answer me. I brought you up out of Egypt and redeemed you from the land of slavery. I sent Moses to lead you, also Aaron and Miriam. My people, remember what Balak, king of Moab, plotted, and what Balaam, son of Beor, answered. Remember your journey from Shittim to Gilgal, that you may know the righteous acts of the Lord. With what shall I come before the Lord and bow down before the exalted God? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings, with calves a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams, 10,000 rivers of olive oil? Shall I offer my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? He has shown you, O mortal, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you? To act justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with your God. May God add his blessing to the reading of this, his word. Would you go with me to God in prayer? Dear Heavenly Father, we gather here because we love you, because we want to look upon your face and see your light in the eyes of others, to gain strength from each other, to gain strength from your presence among us. We thank you for being right here as we worship you, as we glorify your name and sing praises to you. Thank you so much for the wide variety of ages and all of the individuals and the families that are represented here today. For we all make up the fabric of this church that wants to serve you and wants to be a lighthouse for Jesus Christ. So, Father, you do call us all to live for you. You ask us to love others, to pray for others, to find ways to use the gifts you've given us to serve you. You ask us to put others first. You ask us, Father God, to be there for those in need. But Lord, we all mess up. We all fall down. We all disappoint you. So how wonderful it is that we can stand firm in the grace of Jesus Christ, our Lord. For although, Lord, we want to love you and serve you, our faithfulness has a lot of holes in it. It's very ragged sometimes, but your faithfulness is eternal. And you never fail us if we turn to you. So, Father, we ask that you put your strength in us, your love in us, your mercy, your kindness, your compassion for others. And just let us be channels of your love. Work through us and work past our faults and fractures of our spirit. And, Father, we just pray you'd fill us with your love till we overflow with Jesus Christ, that others may be drawn to salvation and to the warmth of your daily presence. In thy name we ask this prayer. Amen.
Ray mentioned the ball game, and some of you think it's a big day because what's going to happen at 6 p.m. today. But actually, this is the big day for what happened on this date 14 years ago at 6:01 a.m. Yes, Harrison was born on 2/2/2000. And for those of you who know me, know what a major part of my life Harrison and Murphy are. And I cannot tell any grandparent here what it's like when that first grandchild is born, and the second, and the third, and so forth. But I would just like to say again briefly, and I don't think we can say it too often, a thank you to the teachers and leaders and staff that work with all of our young people each week. They work within the preschool department, our children's department, our youth department, those who work with our RAs and GAs and mission friends on Wednesday nights, those who work with our music program, our leaders, directors, musicians, those who work with our youth on Sundays and Wednesday nights, those who coach the basketball teams. All of you play a role in the young people of this church. And to the congregation, each one of you is a vital part of the young people of this church. You support them through your prayers. You are their prayer partners. You support their activities. You support their mission projects, as Jeff has already talked about, the pancake breakfast yesterday. You remember them on special occasions. You attend their basketball games on Saturdays. You encourage them, and you lead by example. And as Jeff has said many times, how wonderful it is to be a part of a church, part of a church family that encourages our youth and our young, all of our young, children, and allows them to lead us in worship. Our children and youth lead us in worship. Yes, I am thankful that Harrison and Murphy are a part of College Park. Harrison, happy birthday. I love you and Murphy more than you will ever know. Let us pray. Dear Lord, I am thankful for the opportunities that all of our children and grandchildren have had and continue to have here at College Park. But dear Lord, help us to open our doors wider, to welcome in and include other children and young people from our community. May we give of our time, our talents, and our financial resources, not just only willingly, but sacrificially, so these young people can have the same opportunities that our children have. Now bless these gifts that are given today. May we use them according to your will to reach out into our community, to continue with all the ministries here at College Park, and to continue our support of missions throughout our state, in our nation, and around the world. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. Thank you.
The Beatitudes. It's one of those passages of Scripture that is read a great deal and has probably been quoted at some point. Maybe you had to learn them as a child and recite those, but we're going to read them one more time. They're in Matthew chapter 5, beginning in verse 1. I invite you to turn there, part of Jesus' teaching, Sermon on the Mount, whatever you want to call it. This is kind of where we are. We're going to be in Matthew chapter 5 for the next couple of weeks, but let's read together. If you have a copy of God's Word with you, open up to Matthew chapter 5. If not, there should be a pew Bible close to you. Hear these words again. Now, when he saw the crowds, he went up on a mountainside and he sat down. And his disciples came to him, and he began to teach them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you." This gospel lesson, the Beatitudes, first part kind of the Sermon on the Mount, This is perhaps one of the best-known passages of Scripture. It's also one of the most commercialized passages of Scripture. If you don't believe me, Google Beatitudes merchandise. You'll find some fascinating things. I found these things. A green iPhone Beatitudes case. I did. It's on sale right now, by the way, $18.97. I found a mug, a big mug, $22 had Beatitudes on it. I found a very nice throw pillow, by the way. On sale for $19.98, had the Beatitudes. I found a rectangular magnet, which was very nice. I found a yard sale. Excuse me, a yard sign. Maybe yard sale too, but anyway. It was a yard sign at $19.99 on sale right now with Beatitudes on it. I found T-shirts, embroidered shirts, all kinds of shirts with Beatitudes. I found a diaper bag. That struck me as unusual. It's on sale. I suspect so. A diaper bag with the Beatitudes. A keepsake box. A journal, a postcard, a mouse pad. I found all these things with the Beatitudes on them. So it is one of the best known. It is one of the most commercialized passages of Scripture. And being well known can be good and it can be bad. Here's the good news. You know, the Beatitudes are part of our memory banks in some form that may be sort of kind of close to the original. The bad news is sometimes when we start hear these being read, we assume we know what's coming next. So maybe we don't fully listen when it's read. My guess is that part of you tuned out when I started reading because you knew what was coming next. And so you didn't hear the words fresh anew every time they're being read. So my suggestion with that in mind is to start again. Take a deep breath. Deep breath. Let go of everything else and pay attention, because this radical call from Jesus is to change. It is to not know. It is to be startled, because for most of us, the call to change is to change what we do. No, it's a call not to change what we do, but it's a call to change who we are. It's to change who we are. You see, whatever all the other insecurities we may have, we as people generally feel pretty confident about the things that we do, whether it's our job, whether it's an errand, whether it's a chore. You know, we feel pretty confident doing the things that we do. Even when we're confronted with something that we've never done before, we are pretty sure that we can learn the skill set that's necessary to perform that objective adequately, if not brilliantly, right? We have confidence in ourselves to do things. But see, doing can be a defense mechanism. Let me explain. Spiritually, it can become a way of avoiding a deep and profound relationship with God. Did you hear that? Doing spiritual things can interfere with a deep spiritual relationship with God. We often take a great deal of pride in having a saturated life, you know, able to reel off this exhaustive list of everything that we do, our appointments, our mission projects, even our committee meetings, our social engagements, and we wear our stress and anxiety as badges of honor earned by doing too many things. Confidence in our ability to do has a dangerous way of making us believe that we are self-sufficient, that we are self-made, even makes us self-referential. Let me explain. We begin to believe that our personal experience is normative for the whole world. That's actually a pretty arrogant attitude, isn't it? But we as believers, we get in that trap, especially we as American believers. We begin to think that our personal experience is normative for the whole world. Our perspective narrows so that we only bother to look at life from our senses, from our subjective analysis. And our current concept of God becomes more important than who really God is. Our partial appropriation of God's design becomes more important than the divine desire and design itself. But Jesus, he doesn't call us to merely do. He calls us to be what God created us to be. As strange as it may sound to our stressed out ears, he tells us, God doesn't really need us so much to do anything as much as he desires for us to be someone. And Jesus' scandalous, provocative, radical beatitudes, his blessings, don't say anything about what we're supposed to do to bring about the kingdom of God. That's not what they're about. The Beatitudes do not list the things for us to do in order to be saved. That's not what they're about. They describe what the divine community already is in God's eyes. They invite us to be part of the transformational humanity that God has already brought into existence. It's an invitation. We incarnate that shalom community not by doing acts of justice, but by being just people, not just people, but just people, renewing and creative ongoing acts of justice occur because we have been transformed. It's about who we are. We are just people, unable to respond to others in a way that does not incarnate equity and dignity and righteousness. In a like fashion, we are peacemakers. Not because of something we do, whether that's to beat up a tyrant or impose a ceasefire. That's irrelevant. We are peacemakers not because of something we do, but because we are people of peace. And understand that peace is not the absence of conflict. Peace is an environment. It is a spirit of cooperation that allows resolution to conflict quickly so that people are not hurt. Conflict will exist. Why? Because we're people, yeah. Conflict is going to exist. And peace is an environment, it's an attitude, it is a spirit of cooperation that allows for resolution for conflict. Those are just two examples, being just and being peacemakers. But my point is, it's easier to do than it is to be. It's easier to do than it is to be. We can always stop doing something when it becomes uncomfortable or inconvenient, right? It's a lot harder to stop being. Think about it. You'll chuckle about that when you get it. It's a lot harder to stop being. This is Super Bowl Sunday, so let me give you an example that's relevant. About 7 years ago, my son and I had an opportunity to attend Peyton Manning and Eli Manning and Archie Manning's passing academy in Thibodaux, Louisiana. That day, I remember the heat index was 138. It was hot. I didn't know you could go an hour south of New Orleans and still be on dry land. You can. You just wish you hadn't gotten there. Yeah, trust me on that. It had been that way pretty much all the day. I mean, it was hot, unbearable hot. The kids from the Northeast were just sitting under the Gatorade tables just pouring cold water on. It was unbearable. And Peyton and Eli and his father were out there all day long from 9 in the morning to 9 o'clock with these young quarterbacks giving them instruction, hands-on, personal instruction. And yet at 9 o'clock at night, when Peyton Manning walked out of the meeting that he was having with parents, he was as personable and kind and compassionate as he greeted people. He had been out there all day long running around with these kids, and yet he's compassionate, kind, personable. What I've come to find out about the man Peyton Manning since then is that he is truly a compassionate, generous man who happens to play football at a very high level. He's very good at what he does. But a couple years ago, he was reminded that he's not going to be able to do this the rest of his life. He had a serious neck injury, which probably would have sidelined permanently anybody else. He will not be able to do his job at some point, but he will not cease to be Peyton Manning, the man who gives so much to so many people and is so generous to so many charities. Who he is not defined by what he does, although in his particular case, he's probably going to have to stop playing football altogether for people to realize what a good man he is. Not just a football player, but what a good man he is. In like fashion, we as believers come together on Sunday to celebrate who we are. We are God's children. We are a common community defined by who we are together, not so much by what we do, or at least that should be the case. We are not spectators at the Super Bowl. We are not spectators at a rock concert. We are joint heirs together, worshiping in one spirit, defined by who we are in Christ, not what we may happen to do this afternoon or tomorrow or this week. We're defined by who we are. So as we read the words of Jesus again, and I challenge you to do that again at some point, maybe this evening or tomorrow morning, read these words again. And as we read the words of Jesus, we need to hear Jesus' words as insights into the kind of attitudes that we should have by who we are, by who we are to be. Unlike the clever play on words here, all I've got is who we are to be attitudes. If we are to be who God created us to be, read these as the attitudes that we should adopt. The attitudes of being a child of the King. The attitudes of being a community of faith who are being the hands and feet of Christ. And as we focus on who we are to be, what we are to do will fall into place quite nicely. There will be a lot less stress about, God, what do you want me to do? God says, just be who I've created you to be, and the rest of that will fall into place quite nicely. So who is it that we are to be then? We are a community of individuals aware that we live only through God's unending abundance. We are a community of individuals in mourning for all who are suffering. We are a community of individuals ruled neither by our anger nor by the need to appease others. We are a community of individuals yearning for God's righteousness as the parched yearn for water. We are a community of individuals of compassion. And I'm talking about true compassion, not some political dribble. I'm talking about true compassion for people. We are a community of individuals resting so fully in God that our deepest desire perfectly coincides with God's deepest desire for us. We are a community of individuals that establishes a peaceful presence with other people. We are a community of individuals committed to facing into the criticism, into the condemnation, and sometimes the hatred of those for whom our witness is a threat. On this Sunday, as on each and every other morning, we awaken to find ourselves as part of this glorious world. One question then should consume us. Having been transformed by God's claiming us as God's own people, who are we called to be in this community and in this world? Our ministries as a congregation and as individuals are intended to grow out of who it is that we are to be as God's people. They will be empowered. Everything that we do will be empowered because they are rooted in an abiding integrity and in a continual response of love that answers God's love for us. All that remains is for us to be who we already are in God's eyes. Let's pray and ask for His help. Gracious Father, we confess that we readily embrace the cheap substitute of doing, because we can control it a little easier, or so we think. Because it gives us more gratification, or so we think. Father, we pray that you would touch our hearts, convict us, forgive us of our pride and our arrogance and our sinfulness, doing good things for all the wrong reasons, Father. Touch us. Let us know of your Spirit and how you desire something much, much better. God, we pray that we would truly embrace who it is that you've created us to be. And as we do so, it will fill our lives with opportunities to serve you in ways that we never dreamed were possible. God, we love you. And we love you because you first loved us. And we extend that love to others because you first loved us. God, we pray that this week, we would be the hands and feet of Christ doing what it is that you've placed us to do that comes out of being what you've created us to be. For it's in Jesus' precious name that we ask all of these things. Amen. If you're here this morning and you do not have this kind of relationship with Jesus Christ, if you do not acknowledge Him as your Lord and Savior, if you hadn't really thought about the Beatitudes in this perspective because you're not a believer, today is your day. I want to extend an invitation to you. We're going to stand in just a minute. I'm going to be here at the front. And as we're singing, I want to give you an opportunity to respond, to hear that tugging that God's placed on your heart. He wants to have a relationship with you through His Son. I'll be glad to share how you can do that. I'll be glad to pray with you. If you don't want to come this morning, call me this week. I'll be glad to meet with you and talk with you about it. If you're here this morning and you are a believer, but you say, Raymond, I've been doing my own thing and I just want to do more of God's thing. I want to be who God really has created me to be. That's my prayer for each and every one of us, to be honest. That's my prayer for every one of us. And certainly as we sing the song, you can offer that prayer up to God right where you are. If you'd like to talk with me, pray with me, I'd be glad to meet with you as well. If you're here and you say, I'd like to be a member of College Park, there's many ways we receive members. I'll be glad to share that with you. Whatever your response is this morning, I invite you to make that decision as we stand and sing together now. following our benediction and response, I want to invite you, greet one another, greet our guest, offer a word of encouragement to each other as we go out into our mission field. Let's pray together. Gracious Father, thank you for this day and the chance to be together as your children. Father, help us to embrace how you've created us to serve you by being who you've created us to be. Father, we pray that you would give us opportunities that we could never imagine, opportunities to glorify you in the coming days, in the coming hours, in the coming weeks. And we'll be careful to give you all the glory, for it's in Jesus' name that we pray.